Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson.
I'm Andrew.
And this is FPL SideNet.
Here's Chilwell.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable.
Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a peach.
Hello, managers. Welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. We are recording this on Tuesday, May the 21st. And as always, as all season, I've been joined by my man, Andrew, who is the Bodhi to my Johnny Utah on the endless search for the perfect FPL rank. Andrew, you're standing there at the beach. The waves are licking your feet.
Yeah.
Have we found it? The 50 year storm of FPL ranks.
Well, we might have found the 50-year storm in that I felt like paddling out into the waves and never coming back. but yeah, no. I don't know. Why do I have to be Bodhi? Why am I the bad guy?
Well, yeah, I wasn't sure because I thought maybe I was setting you for that, heading out for the surf.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, you work in law enforcement, so you're probably better off being Johnny Utah.
I do. And that is my and that is my Twitter avatar as well. So yeah.
True.
I gotta be the FBI guy. I can't be the bank robber guy.
I am an FBI agent.
Ain't it wild? I feel like after that season, I kind of feel like Johnny Utah, like when he gets beat up at the beach by War Child, by Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty much how I'm feeling at the moment. But yeah, how about you? Do you feel like you've taken a beating?
Yeah. I definitely feel I took it. But I feel like when the dog gets thrown at Keanu when he's running through the house.
Yes.
That was game week 38. Game week 38 was the dog and I was Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, okay. You're Keanu Reeves. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe you were the dog, just out of control, flying through the air, just plummeting.
No, it was unusual for myself. I usually finish game week 38s are usually really good for me.
Yeah.
Not so this season.
Yeah, you didn't have a great one. And I've talked about this a lot. Like I always have a terrible end of the season. I usually finish with a few red arrows in a row and of course it happened again.
To form, yes.
But yeah, to form. But I mean, thankfully my game week 38 wasn't so disastrous that it kicked me all the way out of the top 100K, but
it wasn't as disastrous as my game week 38.
No. I mean, to be fair, you got inside the top 100K for the first time after game week 37, right?
I could smell it.
It was like three days. That's right. Like the top 100K for you was like when Patrick Swayze jumps out of the aeroplane and then you're stuck on the aeroplane, but you got no parachute. And you're like, it's right there. I need it. So you just jump out of the plane without the parachute anyway. That's pretty much what happened to you.
Oh, it's all right. The highlight of my FPL season was 3 days. Anyway, you know what? I'm going to do my team first. Because it's crap and I just want to get it over and done with. And then we can talk about yours. So yeah, game week 38. Finished up on 50 points. And then I also took a hit because I fell victim to the Ezac leaks. So 46 points for me, which was a tremendously bad, nearly a 50K red arrow. So I spiraled down to 144K. Bad all around. My two transfers, I bought in Havertz, who did well. Could have done much better. And yeah, Ezac for Cody Gakpo, which did not go very well. But I think even with Ezac in my side, I still would have been facing a red arrow.
Yeah, you would have. It would have been a lot better though. So what did he score? 14?
14, yeah.
And then take away the minus four, that's an extra 18 points.
Yeah, Gakpo, my safety score was 70. So
yeah, so you were 16 points worse off from that transfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I made the exact same transfer. It wasn't for minus four, but I made the same transfer. So I was kicking myself as well. And for me, it was the difference between the game week 38 Green Arrow and a game week 38 Red Arrow.
Yeah.
But I guess the Havertz transfer was a good one for you. So
yeah,
you know, it wasn't all bad. I mean, you were potentially a little bit lucky to get that goal because there was strong suggestion of a handball from in the lead up to that goal.
Yeah, it did have a bit of a long review there, but yeah, that was the tail of my season at the finish mark, 144K. So not as good as the last few seasons, but I still had fun and lots to laugh about, but also a lot to learn. But your season finished up Nintendo 64.
Yep. I got the Nintendo 64. So my week was pretty much saved by double Palace defense. I had Henderson in goals and I had 10 points from Munoz. But yeah, apart from that, not great. I had 7 from Sun, 6 from Palmer. I captained Salah for 6 points, which, you know, that, I mean, Haaland blanking was an absolute savior for me. And then, yeah, obviously got Foden's 15 points. And then the whole front line, the whole, all the forwards blanked. Watkins 2, Solanke 1, Gakpo 2.
Yeah.
So 64 points. I can't remember what my safety score was. It was, you know, in the low 70s. But yeah, if I hadn't have done the Isak to Gakpo move, then obviously I would have been, quite a few points better off. But anyway, ended up on 95K. Basically, if it wasn't for the Palace clean sheet, I would have been outside the top 100K. So very relieved to have just squeezed into that top 100K, third top 100K finish in a row. But they have been getting progressively worse. I think I went like 42K, 64K, and now 95K. So I'm due for a even worse season next year if that pattern continues.
It's time to buck the trend.
It is. but that's like next. That's August problem. That's not now.
Yeah, that's a future Peter and Andrew problem, which we'll leave to those guys. When we get to the preseason pods, they can worry about that shit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 100%. For now, we forget about all of the badness that was game of week 38. We look towards next season with much more positivity.
Let's hope so. But it was an eventful game week 38. So special shout out to the actual FPL winner of this season is a man from Norway, Jonas Sand Labak. So numero uno nice. Out of 11 million FPL managers out there. Well done. The dream of everyone out there.
Yeah.
It's what we strive for.
It's one of those things where, you know, I'll play probably every year until the day I die and I'll never get it. But what an achievement. You can't take that away from him. He could finish, you know, 3 million every year for the rest of his life, for the rest of his life, and it wouldn't matter because he's got that number one finish.
Oh, you'd go say Cavalier. I'd just go say Cavalier after that.
Yeah. Although, I don't know, it's tempting, like, because a lot of people win it and then the next year they're like a million. it'll be very tempting to kind of like really, you know, grit your teeth and try to prove that it wasn't just luck. Because imagine winning it and then, you know, backing it up with like a top 10K the following year. I don't know if that's ever happened.
Yeah.
It probably has. I don't know.
There's probably some people out there that are pretty good at this game, but I mentioned...
I haven't met him yet either.
Send him my way. I mentioned earlier about the team leaks, and it seemed a lot of people got stung by the Isak leaks. And with the deadline here being 11:30 at night, I'd already fallen asleep earlier that night on the couch, like heading into the deadlines. I was so tired. And I'd already made my Kai Havertz transfer because that was my sensible transfer.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, I'm happy with the side. I wasn't going to take any hits, but I thought, you know, I was sort of had different scenarios in my head. Like, if this player is definitely ruled out, I'll do this. And one of them was, if any of my forwards are ruled out, I'm definitely going to get Cody Gakpo, because I was trying to think with the, you know, looking, watching all the games at once, it's heaps of fun. Like, what is going to be a more enjoyable watch when it flashes up on the Goal Rush show that there's a goal at Crystal Palace, or when there's a goal at the Liverpool game, which one am I going to fear more? And for me, it was the Liverpool one, because I honestly thought that was going to be a big score there. And I thought, well, yeah, I think too. I'd rather have the Liverpool asset.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did. Once it sort of seemed that Isaac News had a lot of legs to it. So I acted on it, which a lot of people did, but yeah, unfortunately got stung.
I fell for it too. And, you know, and looking back, I was just trying to figure out whether it was just me being dumb by falling for that or whether it was quite believable. But as you say, so many people fell for it. So
yeah,
it did seem like there was truth behind it. It was enough. It was enough for me, because my plan all along was to go Watkins to Gakpo, and then just and play Isak and just bench Solanke, and that would have been absolutely ideal because Solanke didn't even start. So, but yeah, when that late news came out, I decided instead to remove Isak, and then I ended up playing. I think I ended up playing Solanke. So then when I saw the teams come out and he was benched, I was like, when I saw Isak was starting and Solanke was benched, I was super pissed off.
Yeah.
But anyway, what do you do? I kind of knew at that moment. I was like, you know, that it was at that moment he knew.
He knew.
that was me. Like I was like, okay, here comes a red arrow. I can see it coming.
Yeah. I just wish I had more composure to like sort of really look into it.
But you were half asleep, to be fair.
I was, like, yeah. I needed a power nap before the game started at 1 a.m.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what my excuse was. I don't really have one, but I fell for it. And not the first time I've fallen for bad Newcastle leaks this season. So that is probably one of my main lessons learned from this season, is to be more careful with trusting leaks.
Well, Newcastle are here in Melbourne at the moment. Should I go down and have a word with Eddie Howe and the team there, and just, you know,
air
some grievances.
Something needs to be done, honestly.
Oh, but chaotic game week 38, as it always tends to be. There was like, I think it was 37 goals scored for the game week. We had a Mateta hat-trick, who has finished the season on an absolute firestorm. Moises Caicedo scoring from halfway, which was brilliant. And
what a goal.
Oh, what a goal. And yeah, Phil Foden just rubber stamping his player of the year campaign with
his
that first goal was just
goal
brilliant.
Was incredible. It was so good. It was like just no backlift. Like,
yeah.
Just like the slicing way he hits it, right into that. Yeah. Just the way he hit it was just so perfect. Love the guy.
Yeah. But real, you know, as we were sort of highlighting in last week's episode, that it's always a tough one for clean sheets, but you managed to buck the trend there with a double Crystal Palace clean sheet. Phenomenal.
Yeah. I know. I expected to get my double clean sheet from Arsenal. I wasn't necessarily expecting it from Palace, but yeah, it, like I said to you, without that double clean sheet, I would have been totally screwed. And I had a third Crystal Palace defender on my bench. I should have tripled.
Oh,
up.
imagine.
Yeah. I had Tyrick Mitchell 6 points just sitting there staring at me, but anyway, can't get greedy. Happy with the two clean sheets.
Yeah, well, I had Pedro Porro sitting on my bench with 14 points, I think.
brutal stuff.
Actually, maybe I should go down and complain to Spurs as well while they're both here.
Because they're in Melbourne as well, aren't they?
Yeah, slap them both.
Yeah.
Oh, but I felt like it was funny, like sort of consuming all the FPL content last week. Everyone was, you know, we're all building our narratives ahead of game week 38, because it just felt like a real vibes round where, you know, all the planning, a lot of the data, everything just goes out the window, and it's like, just what's your gut telling you? And we were joking that Villa may rock up to that game at Selhurst Park absolutely hungover to the max. And boy,
they look like pure shit, those guys. Imagine conceding 5 goals in the first game and the last game making the Champions League.
That didn't even occur to me. Bookkeeping the season with 5 goals conceded. That's bonkers.
Yeah, and making after doing that, qualifying for the Champions League is incredible.
Yeah, having their best season in bloody decades. So,
Yeah.
Bizarro world.
Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in. But I do love game week 38 for that reason, because all of the analytics does go out the window. You know, it's just 1 week, pure gut
Yeah.
feel. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, oh, over the long term, this guy's going to return more. It's literally like, how are you feeling about this week?
Yeah.
That's why I think it's such a fun week. And
It
I'm
is.
obviously very bad at it because I always get a red arrow, but I have fun getting a red arrow every time.
Well, I've joined you in that in those stakes this time
Yes,
today.
for 1 year only.
But yeah, it was also, the week of goodbye. So, finally, jeez, Klopp dragging his feet with his bloody farewell. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, but Klopp saying farewell to Anfield. A lot of very upset people.
Yep.
Interestingly, not Darwin Núñez, who is appeared to, not really give two FAs about Klopp
Yeah,
leaving and.
little bit grumpy about not starting for the last, 6 weeks or so. Well, maybe if he'd scored a goal at some point in, the previous 10 starts,
Yeah.
he would have got more minutes.
Yeah,
You can't really blame Klopp for not giving him enough opportunities. I'm not sure what that's all about.
true. There was that. There was, yeah, David Moyes finally said farewell to West Ham. And yeah, Robert De Zerbi, Roberto De Zerbi, announcing he was
Bobby
leaving
D.
Brighton. Yeah, RDZ, on the day before the game. And I don't know, that one. I know that one really didn't feel that surprising. It sounds more like there's been him and the club coming together and not agreeing on something, and he's just in classic over emotional Italian fashion going, "I'm gonna leave."
Thanks for bringing racism to the pod today, Pete.
A lot of my family are Italian. I can get away with
You can get away with it. It's fine.
it. Ciao,
Yeah,
ma fa
no,
gu.
that's no. Yeah, I don't know where he's going to go. Do you think he will go back to Italy?
I reckon he will. Few big jobs there in Italy. His stock's definitely risen after being in the Premier League. He sort of ventured around some new.
I'm not sure if it's risen this year though. Like, if anything, it's fallen this
True.
year compared to last year.
I should add his profile has risen. Maybe not
Yes,
his game. I think he's been
that's true.
terrible this season. I think he's actually been really bad this season,
Yeah,
considering.
absolutely.
I mean, I think last season Brighton was sort of surfing on that wave of feeling a bit, begrudged after, the way Potter left and a lot of the staff left to go to Chelsea. And, they sort
Yeah,
of
true.
used that momentum after their good start to the season to really like channel that into the performances and then get into Europe. But yeah, it's really faltered a lot this season. I know they've had a lot of injuries, which, let's face it, that affects a lot of teams. But yeah, it felt like a long time ago. I think De Zerbi had mentally checked out.
Checked out. Yeah, I agree. I agree. He didn't seem to be all there this season. That's probably part of the reason why they gone too well.
Yeah. I mean, there's word that it could be McKenna, who's just got Ipswich, promoted. Apparently Brighton are, looking at him possibly, but Graham Potter may be back at Brighton.
Really?
I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? I don't get mixed up in all of this rumor mill stuff. I've got no idea. It would be a bit harsh for McKenna to leave Ipswich and not actually coach them for a season up in the
Yeah.
Premier League. You'd think that he'd want to stay for one season,
Yeah.
and see how far he can take them in the top division. But
Yeah, maybe.
yeah,
Anyway,
I guess we'll see.
we'll wait and see. But yeah, also, yeah, Thiago Silva said goodbye to Chelsea. He was crying before he even took hold of the microphone, as predicted. And also Emma Hayes, who's the women's Chelsea coach. She finished up five titles in a row. That's what a boss. So
Yeah,
she's off to
right.
coach the US women's national team now. So as if they needed any more help being really good, they've just managed to snare one of the best managers in the world. So.
Yep, fair enough. Oh, well, congrats to Chelsea for that. I guess, yeah, the women have been very consistent over the last 5 years,
Ah,
much better than the men.
absolute bosses. And yeah, we also said goodbye to Luton, Burnley, and Sheffield United.
I will miss Luton.
I'll miss Luton. They
That's
were fun.
They were and they had like really cool jerseys too, like the orange and white. I love it.
Yeah, I see. This is a gripe. Fashion big gripe. Also a design gripe.
You are a kitten. You are a kitten.
I'm a kitten. Like anything that has a fade, like a gradient. I absolutely despise gradients. And whenever anyone in my team at work is working on something that has a gradient, I'm just like, nah, get rid of the gradient. Like I just hate it.
You'll lose the gradient.
So anyway, okay. I won't be sad to see that kick gone, but yeah. Right. Out of that Luton team, do you reckon any of them maybe we might see, you know, sort of pop up at a promoted team next season or, you know?
I don't know. Like, I mean,
Doughty, maybe, sure. Like,
I was going to say Doughty, and I was going to say, like, maybe Ross Barkley has proven that he is still good enough to contribute to a Premier League side. Apart from that, like, I don't know, like, Carlton Morris, potentially.
I don't know. It feels like a championship striker.
Yeah, potentially. Like, probably not like a first choice striker for a Premier League team, but I can imagine him being like a bench option for a Premier League team.
Maybe Adebayo. I can see him.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Definitely. Yeah.
I can see him moving to maybe a Brentford. Like, they're probably going to lose Ivan Toney. Yeah,
to replace Ivan Toney.
Looking for another forward.
Pretty good fit, actually.
Yeah, he was very impressive. But yeah, that was game week 38. But our season as a whole, anything that you sort of are taking away from this FPL campaign? I mean, it's sort of a bit hard to wrap up. Like I really struggled to think about a lot of things because I haven't really I usually download the data of my side. And I look through it. I try and work out what I can do better. But I sort of feel it's a bit hard to carry a lot of these lessons into next season because essentially it's so fixture determined what we do with our sides. Like we can talk about this player and that player and you know this tactic, but it literally comes down to which sides have good fixtures on paper in the first month, and that's what we base everything off.
100%. And look, I think I whenever I listen to an FPL review pod, I always think that like the lessons learned that people come up with are really quite, I don't know, short sighted. Like one season, people might, you know, they might have been burned because they held on to someone for too long, and they'll say, you know, oh, the lesson I've learned this year is to be more ruthless. So, you know, I was too passive. And then the next season, they won't hold on to someone for long enough. They'll lose patience. They'll drop them, and then that person will go on a massive run of scoring. And they'll say, oh, this season, what I've learned is I've got to be more patient with my assets. And it's like, no, that's actually not a lesson learned. That's just what happened this year. And so, I really think that it's easy to fall into the trap of looking at what happened in the season that's just gone by and learning a lesson from it in inverted commas, which is really not a lesson that you can necessarily take forward year on year. It's just, look, that's what happened this year, and that's the reason why I did how I did. But next year, you know, the principles, the same, I could run with the same principles, I could do a lot better. So I really do just like put a pin in the season and then move on to the next one. And I probably should do a bit more analysis of my seasons and try to, you know, and try to think of ways that, you know, I can improve the way that I play, but I just don't. And that's probably why I'm not ever going to be a great FPL manager, because I just don't. I really enjoy the week-to-week management of FPL, but I don't necessarily enjoy like the end of season review stuff and like, you know, analyzing my performance and, you know, in a macro way and trying to see how I can improve for next season. I just, I just can't bring myself to do that work. Once the season's over, I just want to put the feet up and relax.
Yeah,
and it's all long forgotten. By the time the next season comes along, what happened last year is so far forgotten that like I'm not learning anything.
Ready to make the same mistakes again.
100%. Ready to make the same mistakes again. Let's go, baby.
And complaining about it on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's cheaper than therapy, people.
That's right. I did have a little bit of a think about it today, though, to be fair. And like, I think the main thing for me is that I was so determined to go against the template chip strategy this season, and it didn't work out. I don't think I got hugely punished, but I certainly didn't get, the kick from it that I hoped that I would. And I still don't know whether I was just wrong or whether it just didn't work out. It's just really hard, to unpack it and figure out whether it's just I shouldn't have done it or whether I just sort of got unlucky with how the results were. But I got punished for going against the template a couple of times as well. You know, I went against Jackson late in the season. I went against Haaland in the week where he scored 4 goals. And yet again, as I said to you before, always finish the season with a few red arrows, and I've never been able to figure out why.
Yeah.
So that is one thing I'd like to get to the bottom of, but I just haven't been able to figure it out so far.
I suppose at least there was some highlights though. And for me, when I was thinking about your season, and like if I had to pick out one highlight, it was when you went back to the Bowen Well and you got him in for that week of all weeks, when I remember laughing at you on the podcast when you suggested it. And he gets a bloody hat trick.
You're usually like polite enough to pretend that you think my crazy ideas are good. This time you couldn't even bring yourself to do that. You were just like, that's a terrible idea. Don't do it. And I was like, I'm doing it. And he got the hat trick. I had some other pretty, I had a couple of other good moments as well. Like I got in quite early on Richarlison. So when Richarlison went through that run of literally scoring at least one goal every week for like 6 weeks in a row, I was on him.
Yeah.
So I got a big advantage from that, but balanced out by plenty of times where I didn't have someone that, you know, the crowd did have, and I got punished for it. So hopefully next season, more Richarlison and Bowen moments and less Jackson and Haaland moments.
We try. We aim.
We strive. We're forever striving. What about yourself? Have you reflected on your season and come up with anything?
Not really reflected, but just sort of like highlighting, like putting pen to paper on the things that sort of came to mind. And like this season really being like one of just wasting transfers on defenders this season. I remember that, like, and it's probably tail in part with how bad I did in the first, probably third of the season was like terrible. Probably my worst start to a season for forever. And it was just wasting transfers on defenders like every week, just bouncing from one to the other, and probably not having the squad depth. So I think maybe next season I might try and have like at least four good defenders rather than just having the three and two duds, because there was so many injuries this season. Like there's nothing to suggest that won't happen again next season. So the best way to learn from that is maybe I just have four defenders instead of three. And it just might mean that my eighth extra attacker isn't as good as what I like, but at least I've got that bench coverage and I don't have to rely on using those free transfers. But that was it.
Especially if the fourth defender, who's pretty good, is still only like 4.5. It's not that much of a sacrifice to have that extra defender.
Yeah, that's right. And real struggles with goalkeepers this season. I can't remember a worse season with goalkeepers. I mean, I think I had three or four goalkeeping clean sheets up until like the mid game week 30s. One of those came in game week one. So I couldn't buy a goalkeeping clean sheet for love or money. And I'd move on to certain players and then I'd get rid of them and then they'd get hot, and I'd move on to the hot goalkeepers and then they get cold. And it was a shock a bit. Yeah. I think it was like the season before, like paying the price for a bad first wild card, like trying to be too cute. And I got away with that last season. We trying to be too cute, corrected it straight away, and it didn't really cost me that much.
Yeah.
At the time it did, but overall it didn't. Whereas this season it did, because I sort of just kept with it. And basically that was going with Darwin and Luis Diaz over Salah.
Yeah.
And Salah had started to get hot, but my thinking, the fixtures are there, I can do that with the double Liverpool attack, and then end up with the bad luck that Diaz's father gets kidnapped. And then that's followed up with Solanke, like getting the goal when he was like he wasn't a differential, but he was nowhere near the ownership that he would get to. Yeah. I remember being fairly early on Solanke, getting that goal against Luton, and then that game being called off. That was a big, it sort of felt like all these things were just rolling one week after another.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's pretty unlucky to be affected by a player's dad being kidnapped and by a cardiac arrest on the field, and like both of those things negatively impacting you. Like, those are the things that you literally can't legislate for. Right?
I know. So, I don't think I can have as much bad luck in another season that I've had this year. So that's sort of what I'm... So much of it is luck, isn't it? Like
100%. And like, I mean, with Darwin, you can easily say, look, I knew the risks. You know, you knew the risk when you picked Darwin that, you know, he's hot and cold. He is going to go one way or another. But when you pick Luis Diaz or Solanke when he's a really good pick and he's relatively low owned, and then, you know, you get affected by those kind of events, you really can't put it down to anything other than like really bad luck.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing was sort of like losing my patience with Watkins early on in the season. And it started okay in the season. He was just getting assists every week, no goals. And it got to, I remember there was a fixture switch, like Newcastle had a really good game against Sheffield United. And I was just like, I'm a bit over Watkins. I'm going to move in for Callum Wilson, which is a major red flag. If we've learned anything this season, Callum Wilson is on the never to buy.
I think Callum Wilson is like a 1 week punt only, because you know that he's never ever going to be fit for more than 2 or 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I still think he's all right for a free hit normally, the Watkins thing was interesting, because like at that time when you kind of lost patience with him, a lot of people had started to say, oh, Watkins is, you know, he ticks along, but he's not explosive. And, you know, this is a guy who the previous season, and even I think once earlier this season, had massive hauls.
Yeah.
We know that he is explosive. It's just, it hadn't happened yet. So,
yeah. And then it did happen, like, the week or two after I got rid of him, and he got that hat-trick against Brighton. I remember that was game week 7, and I was wildcarding game week 8. And that night, while he got the hat-trick, I was just like, nah, F this. Bang, wildcard, straight back in the side.
He's in, correcting that. Yeah, I didn't have him for that hat-trick either. That was painful. That was painful for both of us.
Yeah, so something to learn that, especially with the forwards, that if they're ticking over, they're good, rather than trying to, you know, waste chances on good players. And
100%. Like Watkins this year, Kane last year, there is nothing wrong with a player that scores 5 to 6 points a week.
Yeah.
Because it adds up to well over 200 points by the end of the season. Like, that is not where you need to be focusing your transfers.
Exactly. And it's something I really need to think about and keep in mind heading into next season. All right. Listeners of this show will know that every season first preseason episode, we do our preseason predictions. So usually we get them wildly wrong, but it's always fun to come back to it at the end of the season and see how badly we actually...
just how wrong we were.
Just how wrong we were. So our preseason predictions for top four, Andrew, do you remember who you had in top four?
I do. I had Man City coming third.
I was going to say, what?
I predicted Arsenal to win the league, because I thought that Man City were going to have like a bit of a mental come down after the treble.
A Jack Grealish hangover.
Yeah, pretty much. I had Liverpool second, Man City third, and Man United fourth. Yikes.
Okay.
I'm proud of the Arsenal prediction. Like, I was damn close to getting that right, but...
Yeah. You're close, but you're wrong.
I was close to being right, which is to say that I was wrong.
I had City as champions again. Never doubted you, Pep. Liverpool second and Arsenal third. And yeah, like yourself, I had Man United fourth. So yeah, we got that one really wrong this season.
I think a lot of people did. Like last year,
I think finished good last season.
Yeah, like Ten Hag seemed to be making real progress with them. Yeah. And like Rashford was on fire.
Yeah, Rashford was amazing.
Everyone thought that he'd put like the bad season behind him from the previous year. And
what's that knocking on my door? That's the bad season again.
Yeah, incredible what's happened. But interesting how, Man United have got to be the biggest disappointment of the season based on that. I've seen a lot of other people predicted Man United to be top four at the start of the season as well.
Yeah, fair enough. Relegation?
I had Luton, Burnley, and Nottingham Forest. So Forest was once again like a bit of a flyer for me, and it was kind of similar to Arsenal. Like, I'm proud of how I was only a little bit wrong about that one. So
And didn't someone you know yourself? Was a Forest fan? Or like,
yeah, one of my really good mates from who lives on my street, and he was the last season. He was my son's soccer coach. He's a huge Forest fan. He's actually from Nottingham, and he was very angry when I made that prediction on the pod. But I'd like to say I was partially vindicated because they did disappoint. They did disappoint.
True, they did disappoint. But yeah, 2 out of 3 there. Like yourself, I got 2 out of 3. So I went with Wolves, Sheffield United, and Luton. So
yeah. 2 out of 3 for each of us.
Yeah, there we go. I apologize to the Wolves fans out there. Now, first manager sacked.
Yep.
We have a winner here.
Oh, we do. Yes. I said Heckingbottom from Sheffield United.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting because I actually didn't have Sheffield United being relegated. So I must have, like, my narrative must have been that they'd have a horrible start to the season, sack the manager, and then the new manager would, like, you know, new manager bounce all the way up to 17th. But yeah, anyway, no, that's at least one of us got something right.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I went with Lopetegui from Wolves, but then he left like days just before the season started. So I switched it to Eddie Howe. And there was a while there where I thought,
he was teetering.
There was a lot of pressure on Eddie Howe. Where there was all the injuries. They were losing games.
Yeah.
The Champions League campaign was starting to unravel. But look, to Eddie Howe's credit, he turned it around. And I think he actually did an amazing job this season.
Yeah, me
and Jason
too.
Tindall did an amazing job.
I think halfway through the season, people were saying, look at, you know, like Eddie, it you know, it's gotten to the point where it's become clear that he's, you know, the club's too big for him now, blah, blah, blah. But he really did, as you say, turn it around. So in the end, he's done a great job, I think.
Mm. Now, which random player will become a white hot FPL asset during the season?
I think I can give you the point for this. I think you've won this one.
I'll give us both the pass for this one. So yeah. I went with Richarlison.
Yeah, and he was a white hot asset for a period there. Like, I think we've already talked about it tonight. I think it was around the first wild card. Like, that's when he started, like game week 8 or so to 10. He started on this huge run where he scored like so many points in like a 6-week period.
Yeah.
And he was just like
when he was fit.
He was like the hottest asset in the game for a little while. My guess was Udogie. And I think while he was a solid asset at times and he did make his way into people's teams, he was never white hot. He was, you know, I thought that
he was good.
He was good, but he wasn't white hot. So I think I'm a pass, but I think you get like a proper point for that.
Oh, thank you. Golden Boot, pretty boring. We both went with the Nordic midfield. Maybe next season we'll have who's going to be the second highest goal scorer.
yeah, that's a good idea. Or even like a top three, like we've chosen the top four.
Making the note right now, second highest goal scorer when we do this.
Let's do it.
Next season there. Biggest FPL flop.
Well,
I think we both have a bit of egg on our face here.
Yeah, I said
you have more egg than me.
He's just scored Swedish the 21 meatball. Goals. Just scored the 21 goals this
just
season.
Just the 21 goals.
Oh my god! I can't remember what my justification was. I think maybe partly it was that I thought Newcastle would struggle, you know, with juggling Champions League and the league and stuff. Secondly, I think I thought that Callum Wilson, because towards the end of the season, Callum Wilson started. When he was playing, he was scoring all the points and he was shifting Isak out to the left.
Yeah.
So I thought that if Isak's going to be playing like on the left most of the time this season, then he might disappoint compared to the season before. But ultimately, I think, you know, he's improved a lot this season and he's just too good. So, and I think Callum Wilson was injured for most of the year. So he had that number 9 to himself for the majority of the season. So.
True, getting all the serves. I went with Rasmus Højlund from Man United. So, I mean, he finished with 10 goals, 2 assists. So, I think I got that one a little bit wrong. But this question, what's a random thing that will happen this season?
I said Aaron Ramsdale to finish the season as Man City's first choice keeper. So, that was random.
Yeah, very random. Unfortunately. Did not happen. He's probably going to leave Arsenal, but
we'll see. Yeah. Well, if you'd told me that that he was that Ramsdale was going to lose his place at Arsenal before the January transfer window, and that Ederson was not going to be in goals for game week 38, I would have thought, hey, maybe I was going to be right, but no, it didn't quite work out that way.
No, it did not. My random thing that would happen was that Graham Potter would return to Brighton. So
it still might happen.
You know what?
What's the cutoff?
If he comes back during this offseason, I'm going to claim that as a win.
Yeah. Before we do our preseason, if he's back before we do our like preseason
emergency podcast
season, yeah, then you can get the point.
First red card of the season. Who did you have?
I had Christian Romero.
Yeah, which is a fantastic answer, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's an absolute nutcase.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about yourself?
I had Darwin Nunez. So
okay, that's a good guess as well.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't
a couple of hot-headed South Americans there.
Yeah, there's a theme. There's a theme that we've picked up on. No, the correct answer was Anas Zarauri from Burnley.
He was my next guess, actually.
He got a card in, what was it? I think that was the first game of the season. It was Burnley against Manchester City, on which the season kicked off on a Friday night. That was the first game. It was in the 94th minute, and I was checking. Zarauri only played 6 games for Burnley before he moved out to Hull City.
Okay. Was that a straight red?
I think so, yes.
Nice. Yeah, so they did a good job of it.
And fun fact, Chelsea set a new Premier League record for most yellow cards in a season. It was 105, I think.
Yeah,
most
and
of
Nicholas
those are
Jackson
Nicholas
has had 100 of them. Yeah, that's right.
Yelling and talking back to the referees.
Yeah. He did mellow a bit towards the end of the season.
Yeah, he did. But a mixed bag there with the predictions, would you say?
Yes. I did worse than I hoped.
Yeah, but as far as our goodwill punting differential choices went this season, I've noted here that you got 14 correct in our little battle. You did better times than me.
Like 14 returns or just 14 higher scores than you?
I think 14 higher scores than me / returns.
Okay. And how many did you get?
I got 9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think the highlight for you was the Raheem Sterling 19 points against Luton. I think that was in game week 3. It was 2 goals, 1 assist, Max Bones. That was a big one for you.
Yep.
Was
he the highest? Oh, but you got the highest for the season, didn't you?
What, Mateta?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was okay, I suppose. It was a double game week, so it sort of
that was
adds to it.
Yeah. Huge, though. Huge.
Still, yeah, it was a pretty barren run for me for differentials of the game week until like the last half of the season. But that was that. But we're going to do some awards now. So I saw the Premier League tweet out these questions to people. So I thought I'd throw it on our show, see what answers we get. So star of the season, who are you going with?
I'm going with our mate, the Stockport Gazza, Phil Foden.
Yeah, unbelievable season. Just
incredible.
7.5 million.
And from like an FPL point of view, he was on my never again list.
Really?
And he's gone from, he was. Earlier in the season, he was one of the, like previous seasons, he's been one that every time he appears to be nailed, he gets dropped.
Yeah.
Every time he appears to be on a run of form, he'll then go, 10 games without scoring. Like he'd burnt me that many times, but this season he just completely turned it around. He went from my never again list to being the second top FPL point scorer, 230 points, more than Haaland, more than Salah, 2 hat tricks, 3 braces, just, and all of that with no pens. So yeah. I just think that's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
He's exceeded my expectations by so far.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible season. Can't argue with that. I'm going with Cole Palmer. Yeah. So yeah, start of the season at 5 million. So, only one blank in his 13 starts at Stamford Bridge. And it's 244 points for the season, which is just insane.
Yeah.
And he didn't even start the first 7 matches. which is just.
Yeah. So if he he'd been playing the whole season, like we're talking, like you know, like prime Salah levels of returns.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what scores he could have got? But just the the number. There was that period of like I think six home games in a row where he was just getting like double digit returns.
Yeah.
He followed that Man United hat trick. Then he followed that up with the Everton quadruple. Incredible. Incredible season.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, it's I honestly don't think we'll ever see it again. The chances of a young gem like that being plucked and placed
it was
into
it was kind of like Mahrez though, wasn't it? It was very similar to what happened with Mahrez in that Leicester Premiership winning season. I think he scored well over 200 points that year, and he started at like 5.5.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is a guy that started at 5 and dropped to 4.9. Like people actually, absolutely incredible. Like even more impressive than the Mahrez season.
Yeah, just insane season. most underrated for you.
That was an interesting one. I was thinking about that for a while, but I've ended up going with Odegaard. He ended up, I was shocked when I looked at the final, like from an FPL point of view, he ended up the eighth top FPL point scorer for the season, 186 points.
Wow. He just ticks over.
He never made it into any teams because everyone had pretty much two Arsenal defenders and Saka all season. And this guy is just flying under the radar, like quietly nearly accumulating 200 points.
Yeah.
Which I think is more than last season. He was probably a more frequently owned asset last season. I think that he's definitely been underrated this year.
It's just tricky because the major difference between him and Saka is the penalties.
Yeah.
Like if Ødegaard had penalties, then he'd 100% be head and shoulders the best.
That's right. And the midfield slots are just so sought after that it's really hard to give two midfield spots to one team. So, I mean, there's reasons why we ignored him, but, you know, it wouldn't have been the worst move to go for double Arsenal mids all season long, really.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah. Where's that hindsight button? The hindsight chip.
Exactly. And it's one of those ones where, like, give me the same season again. I'd make the same choices again.
Yeah.
So, there were reasons why we didn't go for him, but it's just incredible how he managed to nearly rack up 200 points and just was almost never owned by anyone.
True, true. I went with Pascal Gross here. Started the season, 6.5 million, 153 FPL points, 4 goals, 11 assists. So, the period of where I started to improve in the season was when I started to sort of back myself. And one of those was just like, I'm just going to get Pascal Gross in. And he was great because that type of asset, you can move onto the bench, you can play him. And he was regularly getting like double digit returns in FPL, getting returns every week. And a few times I had some bench jam where I benched him and he ended up coming on, but just like almost like the perfect utility FPL player.
Yeah, absolutely. He went through a really hot streak in the middle chunk of the season, didn't he? That's when you
which
had
is
him.
When I had him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a good shout.
Breakthrough player of the season. We both got the same answer here.
Yeah. You go.
Ollie Watkins. Just moving from that, like last season, he finished as a really good FPL asset to this season being he's elite. Yeah. He's going to be one that's going to be really interesting to see the development next season. Like 228 points, 19 goals, 18 assists, consistent as hell. Like 18 assists. That's absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, and a lot of people will say, oh, you know, like if you look at his XA, he's way overperformed his XA. But like we're talking 18 FPL assists, which XA doesn't take into account. So it's not really apples and apples. Like, you know, he wins penalties. He might, you know, hit the post and the ball gets rebounded, like scored from that, or the keeper saves it and it gets, you know, scored from that. So he's getting he's involved in everything. He's getting a lot of FPL assists and it might not be an assist with Opta. So it looks like he's way overperforming, but really, just because he's in amongst everything, he's always going to score points.
Exactly. Best budget hero for the season for you?
Just because of the late run, I've said Mateta. I think he started at 5.0. I think he started as a 5.0 forward. He ended up scoring 165 points.
I didn't realize it was that many.
Yeah, I know. Either did I. When I was sort of preparing for this episode, I was having a look through, you know, just all of those tables. And yeah, he got to 165 in the end. And the people that backed him towards the end of the season during the double game weeks and just during like the chip season, the last sort of 8 weeks of the year, those people that backed him got massive rank boosts. And he was like season defining for a lot of people.
16 goals, 7 assists, and crazy because a lot of those returns came late, like you said, late in the season when, you know, the form was there. Like Palace finished, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The last 7 games of the season, they won 6, drew 1. And he
scored
basically
shit tons of goals.
Scored a ton of goals, and he basically returned in nearly every single one of those games except for 2. So, crazy.
Not bad.
When you're on, you are on. So, yeah, I think that's a great call. I went with Gabriel this season. So, 5.0, he started the season. He dropped down to as low as 4.7 because those first few game weeks, he sort of he wasn't in that game.
He got
game
dropped.
Week.
He was out of favor.
He was out of favor. Julian Timber was going to be taking his spot. Then Timber got the ACL injury at the start. And I can't remember who else he was playing. Arteta in defense. But,
yeah, I think he was playing like Kiwior over him.
Yeah, was it Ben White as well in central defense? Okay.
Yeah, potentially. He was doing everything he could to not play Gabriel at the start of the season. So there was definitely some sort of behind-the-scenes thing going on there.
Yeah, it was something happening there. But then once he was in, he was in. And, yeah, that Arsenal in a season where defensive clean sheets were so hard, that Arsenal defense of keeping he kept 16 clean sheets this season. 3 goals.
Yeah, it's incredible.
1 assist, and there was that one game week where he got the goal and assist in the game.
Yeah,
and I think
and
maybe
it should
it
have been 2 goals.
It should have been 2. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he got another attacking return like the following week, and he was just on absolute fire. But yeah, the way that Arsenal like saw out the season defensively, and like I said, like I'd burned so many transfers on defenders this season, but once I got Gabriel, like that was it.
Yeah. So. No, 100%. Yeah, I think with like the defense this season, we really took a little bit of time to adjust to, the fact that there weren't many clean sheets around with the extra added time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I was in particular too slow in identifying that like there's only one or two defenses that we can rely on.
Yeah.
And just to, yeah, really go, just stick with those guys. And yeah, the people that went earliest on double Arsenal defense were the ones that had, I think, really solid starts to the season that they could build on.
Yeah, I agree there. Biggest disappointment for the season for yourself, Andrew?
Darwin.
Jeez.
I really long at Darwin. Start of the season. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you suffered from
PTSD.
Long Darwin.
I just hear his name and I start like shivering.
Yeah, 100%. But like, yeah, at the start of the season, I thought that Darwin was really going to come a long way this season and really build on what he'd sort of the foundations from last year. And he just didn't. He was horrible. I stuck with him for way too long, thinking like it can't keep up like this. He's going to improve. And he just didn't.
Especially when the fixtures were there. The fixtures were there for him, and he was starting.
Yeah. And like, I think Klopp made the same mistake that a lot of FPL managers made in that he kept the faith for way too long. Like Gakpo was a very solid option and he just didn't give Gakpo enough chances. Then when Gakpo did come in, he performed really well. So I think Darwin is so disappointing. Like he was one of the main reasons that Liverpool dropped out of the title race because, you know, those, I think, was it the Manchester United game where they drew?
Yeah.
And that kind of took them a step down from the title race with Man City and Arsenal. And that was just all Darwin, just absolutely shitting the bed.
Yeah, there was, I remember Darwin having that game against Chelsea. Which they dominated, and Darwin hit the post 4 times and missed a penalty.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Incredible. Incredible. So, yeah, I mean, but you've got a good one too. I like yours.
Yeah, I went with Marcus Rashford. So we expected so much from him, especially after last season. Like, he was amazing last season. I think he was my triple captain last season.
Yeah, he was. He was a lot of people's triple captain. And people triple captain him over Haaland. And
yeah, and he delivered.
And he delivered. Yeah. So, I mean, that would be unfathomable this season to go for Rashford over anyone.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Like, he wasn't even an option for, like, at least half the season. Once the rot had set in there in that United side and the performances completely dropped off, it was just never even occurred to me as an option. Like, no.
I think I had him early in the season. I had him.
Yeah, I think a lot of us did.
The season. That's I mean, we all, both of us had Man United predicted in the top four, and we obviously were pretty hot on their chances, and we went with double United midfields, and yep, they disappointed.
Yeah. Now, you're one to watch for next season. Who is that?
I had trouble deciding this one, but I've gone with I've ended up going with, like, my latest man crush, Munoz from Crystal Palace. I think he has so much potential. I think he's got the potential to be the top scoring defender next year. Right. Just like with the combination of his attacking threat and the fact that Palace have actually become quite defensively resilient at home, it's like that perfect storm for a defender. And I think he got a few hauls towards the end of this season. I think I think he got two assists and a clean sheet in one game. There was another, and in game week 38, he got an assist and a bonus point. So he got a 10-pointer in game week 38. But I still think that he is capable of scoring goals, and he's been very unlucky not to score goals. And that would have, if he'd been scoring a few goals, he really would have gotten a lot more people's attention. And maybe he would have got a bigger price hike next year if he'd scored a couple of goals. So yeah, I'm expecting him to be still relatively cheap at the start of next season. And I think he's going to be a nailed FPL asset for all of our teams.
I like it. Great, great pick there. I'm going with Christopher Nkunku. So
nice.
We barely saw him this season. He only played 430 minutes. And they were basically all sub appearances in the middle of the season at Christmas time. Then he got injured again, and then it was this very late in the season. But he scored 3 goals in those substitute appearances. So he was basically going to be the jewel in the Chelsea team this season. Didn't happen because he got that ACL injury during the preseason. So I'm hoping that, and he's not going to get a price hike either. So he entered the game at 7.5 this season.
Yeah.
He's not going to get a price hike ahead of...
No, it'll be the same again. I don't think they'll give him a price drop either, because it was injury-based, but there's no basis for a hike, so...
Yeah, and hopefully, like, I remember complaining that he should have been listed as a midfielder in the game at the start of the season when we were sort of looking at it. I actually hope he stays as a forward now, because he could be that cheap forward option, because in the midfield, I think, you know, Cole Palmer will run B1 in our sides for next season. He's definitely going to get a price hike. But then, you know, you don't really want to have that double up of Nkunku and Cole Palmer in your midfield. You like to get the balance of a forward.
True.
And, hard to know if he'll be on penalties or not next season, but who knows. But, I think Nkunku is going to be the one for next season.
Yep, I like that. I mean, at the start of the season, we were, like, you were excited about the Nkunku-Jackson combination that was sort of developing in preseason.
Yeah.
You had no idea that Cole Palmer was going to come along. And so now you've got, next season, you've got the Nkunku-Jackson-Cole Palmer trio to look forward to. So I think that there's a lot to be excited about as a Chelsea fan next season.
Let's go. One more game. We'll do a quick one before we finish off. Some price predictions.
Yep. Sure.
Let's see how many we get right here. So Cole Palmer started this season at 5. What's he going to be next season?
I think he's going to go up to 9.
You think 9?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a big jump.
It is a big jump, but he's literally the highest scoring player in FPL. And he's on pens. He's not going to lose them. He played like a 11, $12 million asset or million pound asset. So they're not going to take him all the way up there. But I think they're going to have to hike him up pretty far.
Yeah, I'm going with 8. So, I mean, 3 million is still a big price jump. So We'll see. Who knows? It might be 8.5.
Yeah, it might be. It might be. I'm thinking like last year, like a good parallel is Saka. Like I think he went to 8.5 last year after a 200-point season.
Yeah.
But
was it
he never...
Or was it 7.5 at the start of last season?
No, sorry. I mean this season. This season he started at 8.5 after hitting 200 points in the previous season. I think that, you know, Cole Palmer has probably stepped it up a notch above that, which is why I've gone the 9. But yeah, you're right. Like it's a huge jump. So they might balk it going up that much.
Yeah. Phil Foden, 7.5 million to start this season. Next season? Yep.
I've gone 9.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not confident.
I mean, I've gone 10. So that where our thinking is very, very similar there.
I saw your 10 and I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, will they want to have two Man City midfielders above 10? Like, they don't normally have two midfielders from the one team, like in that premium bracket. But yeah, I guess there is an argument for it with this Man City team.
True. Ollie Watkins started the season at 8.0 million. We've both got him down as 10 heading into next season, which, because there seems to be like a big gap with the forwards in the game. There's Haaland, and then everyone else is like, Ollie Watkins was like the next best of like 8.
Yeah, that's right.
And Gabriel Jesus.
They wanted to have Kane as bridge, but then Kane left. And so I think next season they're going to look to Ollie Watkins to be that bridge, like still be the premium price, but not be like uber premium like Haaland.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anthony Gordon, 5.5 million. I think he's going to be 7 million next season. You think?
I think he's going to be 8. I think he's going to be, I think he deserves to be at least 8.
Okay.
So I think, like the improvement he's shown this season, next season is, I think also there's a chance that he goes to the Euros and impresses, and that might up his stock as well.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think that 8 is a very reasonable price for him. I suppose you're going 7 because you don't think that they'll want to jump him up that much from one season to the next.
Yeah, they tend to bump everyone up.
No, you're right.
Mo Salah, 12.5 million to start the season. I think he's going to be 12.
Yeah, I think so too. I've gone 12 as well. Like, I think my thinking behind this is that he's still breached that magical 200-point barrier. So he's still going to be a very premium asset, but he hasn't done like as well as previous seasons. So I think that they'll feel comfortable in just bumping him down that little bit.
True. Saka, 8.5 million. I'm going with 9.5 million.
Yeah, I did the same.
Jean-Philippe Mateta, we've been talking about him a lot. Start at 5 million. Next season, what do you think?
7.
Yeah, 7. I went with 6.5. So, yeah. Mm. I think had he shown this form a lot during the season rather than sort of finishing the season high, then...
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it's
I mean, like, he strikes me as kind of like that Solanke range. Like, I think Solanke was 7 this season. Is that right?
6.5, I think.
Oh, was he?
I think Solanke started 6.5. So
maybe that does kind of, suggest that you might be closer to the mark. But anyway, I'm not changing it now. 7 it is.
Heung-min Son started this season at 9 million after getting a bit of a price downgrade. We both think he's getting a fairly big price increase next season.
Yep.
And we both got the same price.
No.
Oh, no, we don't. Sorry. I can't read.
I think he's going to go up to 10.
You think 10? I'm going with 11. So,
yeah.
Just because he's that premium asset we've seen in the past. So, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
But before we finish up, it's time for the FPL Signet Podcast League update for the last time this season. So taking out the crown was Mahesh Sharma this season. Mahesh has been leading basically all season, held on, only won the league by 20 points in the end, but an incredible season for Mahesh there. Finished up on 2,564 points. Rahul finished second. Third is our good friend PSB. And PSB also took out the cup competition as well. So finished with the Stormer, just rising up the table and then clinching clinching third and winning the cup. So incredible season. In fourth, great friend of ours, great member of the Aussie community, Charlie Roberts, Chazza from the FPL Addicts of Oz podcast. He has had an incredible season. So I'm so happy to see him do well. Mark Prestupa finished fifth there. Ashley Huben, FPL Crisis, finishing sixth. Kane in Diaz. So been pretty prevalent in our top 10 mini league all season, Ashley, and flirting between the podium and fifth a lot this season. So, finished there. Serge finished seventh. Our good friend Tien, FPL planner, finished eighth this season. He was probably on for a real stormer and then just decided to like really take the game on the last few games. Probably didn't go well as he planned, but like he really backed himself, and like the method was in the madness there to do absolute bits. But you know, that's, you know, it's that high risk, high reward strategy. Yeah. But,
that's FPL.
That is FPL, but credit to him for taking those risks. Ninth, Mira, FPL Mez, from the off the cuff YouTube channel, good friend of ours and winner of this competition last season. She finished ninth. Someone you only just caught up with a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and she, similar to you, finished the season on absolute flyer. Like, incredible.
Her second half of the season has been absolutely incredible. She's absolutely smashed, especially with her wild card and everything else. So, done so well to climb back up. So, she's shown why she was so good at this game. And Liao Zi coming in 10th with their side easy win. So, That was the top 10 of the mini league this season. So congratulations to everyone out there. I'll shout out Gareth Arjnan, finished with 109 points to be the manager of the game week. So they used their bench boost there as well. So minus 12, but still managed to finish on top there. So
nice.
Very nice indeed. Yourself, Andrew, slipping down the rankings a bit. You're in the top 10 for, you know, the tail end of the season, but
got there towards the end, but lost the grip on it. 13th in the end. That's all right.
13th for you. So, I dropped down too. I finished 21st after my disaster of a game week there. But yeah, big thanks to everyone out there for playing this season, and hopefully you'll get involved again next season. And I'll just also shout out the Aussie FPL community out there. So we've got the Elite 32. Which is, you know, the creme de la creme of FPL managers. That was taken out by Chris B. And then in the qualifier league, we had Chris, and the Aussie Twitter league was won by Ryan Vellalonga. And Ryan finished with an overall rank of 625.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely smashed it. All right, before we finish up, it's time for the thank you. So a big thank you to all the people out there who listen every week, download, interact with us on the socials. Honestly, we don't do this show if it's not for you guys out there with your support. So a thank you for that. Huge thanks to our friends out there in the content community who've featured us this season. So we had Ryan from Football Chatbox and Scout the Game Week. We had Mira from Off the Cuff, Chazza Reedy and the Rev from the FPL Addict Show. And as always, our good friends Quentin and Damo from the FPL Amateurs of Oz. So, thanks, guys, for you know, we love being on your shows, and we get you guys on our shows and everything else. And I think we'll do a lot more of that next season. That's definitely on the cards. And also just a special mention for Gabe from Net the Hall. He's shown us a lot of love this season, and I really wasn't expecting that, but we're both massive fans of that show. We absolutely love the work that those guys do, and stoked that they rightfully got the gold plaque. The top content out there. So they really are an amazing show. I love Gabe's philosophy of the week. Also, big thank you to a couple legends, TN, FPL Planner, who almost gets weekly shout outs, and Ryan from FPL Chatbox, who filled in for you this season, Andrew, when you were away on holiday. So big shoes to fill, literally and figuratively.
I don't know about that.
but they were fantastic when I got them on the show. I definitely want to get some more guests in next season to spice things up a bit. But and last but not least, my co-host with the most, Andrew. You make this show so much fun to do every week. We chat our garbage, we send each other messages all the time. So yep. You've done a lot of the heavy lifting this season with your performances. You really carried the show. So
no, definitely not, man. I just turn up and I just talk shit out of the top of my head, and you're the one that does all the prep and do the editing, and yeah, you're the absolute like engine behind this show. So nah,
I'm the Moises Kaiser.
That's right. That's right. You should be the one thanking yourself.
Pats on the back all around for all of us. But anything else you'd like to add before we finish up for season 23/24?
Not really. Thanks. Like, I think you covered it so well. So just, I wanted to say thanks to everyone that's listened to us this season. Everyone that's interacted with us on the socials. We just love doing the show. So thanks for, listening so that we can do it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, for the last time in season 23/24, we'll be back in, a month and a half anyway, once everything's back up. So nice to kick our feet up for a few weeks, but yeah, for the last time this season, let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.